And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
Moving month continues across the NHL, and we have our first coaching change of the season. Welcome to another edition of NHL Fantasy on Ice. Jay Conn, Chris Meaney, Pete Jensen around the table today. Nick Alberga on assignment in Vegas, guys. Meaney, how are we doing on this Thursday, bud?
Yeah, we're doing great. Looking forward to talking about some changes across the league. Artemi Panarin, the Blue Jackets, but I gotta figure that our guy Alberga has an anytime Mitch Marner goal tonight in the revenge spot against the Leafs. Gotta figure, right?
We're going to get into the On the Money segment a little bit later, but maybe in honor of Alberga, since he's not here for this episode, I'll play the Mitch Marner anytime goal. Marner's, he's shrugging it off. He's saying he's not even thinking about it. He hasn't even thought about it until today. I find that very hard to believe, Pete, but revenge game tonight, obviously, between those two teams. And we have a coaching change to talk about for the first time all year, guys. I can't believe it took until mid-January to get a coaching change in a league where we fire coaches like it's going out of style. But Columbus makes the coaching change, Pete. What do you think about that and any potential in the Jackets maybe rebounding here? They did get the initial coaching bump with that win against the Flames.
Right. Everybody in the Eastern Conference is still in the thick of the playoff conversation. So good timing of the move. And then just step back and look at it. Rick Bowness, how old this guy is. We all thought he was in retirement for good. If he's coming out of retirement, means he must see something here, maybe even beyond their top three guys, Werenski, Marchenko, and Fantilli, that would suggest that this team has a potential to turn it around.
Yeah, you know, they made a nice run last year. There was a little bit of a lengthy losing streak towards the end of this season, but they just missed out on the playoffs. Bonus has done some good things, you know, with Dallas when he overtook the Stars team around 2019. He brought them to the Stanley Cup Finals. He had good seasons with the Winnipeg Jets. You know, it's just one game, Jake, but I'm not surprised with Fantilli, Werenski, and Marchenko. These guys are studs. They're going to be good players for you. But I have my eye on, like, Kent Johnson. Kent Johnson played 20:55 in Bonus's first game. It was by far a season high for him. He's averaging 13 minutes per game. This guy has 4 goals and 12 points in 45 games after 24 goals and 57 points in 68 games last season. So I'm looking for players like him that have the skill set. It's a new coach, not just backing the Blue Jackets, but also a bump with some of these players. So I'm looking forward to seeing where he's going to place in the lineup and if he's going to continue to get that kind of usage rate. I'm interested.
I was initially curious too. Rick Bowness said he was done. He said he was looking forward to retirement, and then he's on the fishing boat and he takes the Columbus job. I thought, okay, it's one thing if someone calls you and you feel like you can maybe, you know, quick fix something, win a cup this year. Another thing to take a team that was last in the Eastern Conference, but he said he's healthy, his wife's healthy, which was a great side to all of this, and that was kind of the reason why he briefly hung them up, Pete, and he sees potential in this Jackets roster, maybe salvage this season, but also maybe hang around for next season. Meaney mentions a couple players in there. I would even throw Boone Jenner in there as a player that I think is being slept on a little bit in fantasy. He actually gets the game-winning goal in that first game for the Jackets against the Flames. I think he's a guy I got my eye on, kind of one of those coaches' dreams type players. And I did see Cole Sillinger getting a little bit of a bump up to that top line. So again, Pete, we'll see what Rick Bowness wants to do with his lines here moving forward. Hasn't had much time to actually have an impact on this roster, but something to keep an eye on in Columbus here.
And I'm looking at Jet Greaves to maybe be a beneficiary of this trade. This coaching change. He has not been that bad this year. We were looking, he was 12th in 5-on-5 save percentage with the minimum 15 or 20 games played among all goalies this season. But the penalty kill has been awful for the Blue Jackets. You know that the goaltending overall with Merzlikins and Greaves has been spotty and inconsistent. So maybe Greaves can rediscover that hot flash we saw. It was only 5 games late in the season last year, but he was on everybody's fantasy radar at that time, and he's a guy that could benefit from Rick Bowness being at the helm.
Yeah, we've recently moved Greaves inside our top 25 in terms of the goalie rankings, and if you're playing in a league with saves, I mean, he's among the leaders. The Blue Jackets, that's one of their problems. They give up a lot of rubber. Bowness is going to have to fix that defensive game. He's going to have to fix the penalty kill, but there are some nice appealing players on the squad. And I'll just shout out one more, Jake, is Charlie Coyle. You know, he had 2 goals in the last Blue Jackets game. He's got goals in back-to-back games. He had 9 shot attempts and 7 shots. He's getting an opportunity to play on the first power play with some of those skilled players that we talked about, Werenski, Fantilli, Marchenko, and he can help you in leagues with face-off wins, and he's kind of sneaky in banger leagues as well. He throws his body around. So interested to see how the Blue Jackets, you know, move forward here. We all liked them the other night, you know, at NHL Fantasy against the Calgary Flames. And, you know, the steep price tonight, Jake, we'll talk about it, you know, a little bit later on with some of the picks, but I'm going to continue to ride them here over the next little bit.
You guys did mention Jet Greaves. It feels like nobody plays more than Jet Greaves.
Right.
I thought that this was going to be some sort of tandem. Okay, maybe Greaves 60-40, but that guy plays basically every single night. So if you mentioned the saves category, if you're just looking for volume, I think he's a good play. And I do think we could see a little bit of initial uptick with the Jackets. Speaking of goaltenders, guys, we did get a return, maybe a bit of a surprise return, kind of came out of nowhere, at least for me, Pete. But I want to get your take on the situation and where it's headed. Tristan Jarry comes back now for the Edmonton Oilers. Connor Ingram had actually come up and played quite well, I thought, in the meantime, and you still have Cal Pickard there. So are we doing the three-headed monster thing in Pete here, or in Edmonton, Pete, for the time being? Or is this just Tristan Jarry's net? And what are we doing with Ingram or Pickard if we own them in fantasy?
That's a scary three-headed monster and not in a good way for Edmonton. Yeah. I don't like that look very much. They got to try to narrow it down. They got to figure this thing out if they're hoping to flip the switch like they did last year. Remember last year, there were so many injuries. There were so many negative trends. And then all of a sudden it flipped. But that's not a good recipe for future success. That was more of an outlier for me. I'm worried about Tristan Jarry. I don't like what I've seen from him in an Edmonton uniform in a small sample size. I'm much more comfortable means with Aiden Hill whenever he comes back. Like, I like the way Vegas is playing right now without him, and he could return as early as Thursday, which is a great sign in that Pacific race.
Yeah, absolutely agree with you. 2 goalies that we've, again, moved up. I'm okay with Jarry. Just, you know, there's going to be some highs and some lows. Of course, he came out of the net against the Predators. That was a low, you know, giving up that overtime winner against Nashville. But at the same time, you know, you're just looking for wins. Everybody is hurting between the pipes. I'm seeing a lot of mailbag questions here, again, on goalies. And as for Pickard and Ingram, Ingram's been better than Pickard. But at the same time, you have a backup goalie here. And I think if Jarry's health, he should get 60-65% of the starts moving forward. So I think he's like a decent goalie number two. And I think Aiden Hill has a little bit of a higher ceiling, Jake. We've seen this from him. Health, again, is a concern. But last year, he was among the leaders in wins. The Vegas Golden Knights are playing great hockey lately. They seem to be getting healthy at the right time. So if Aiden Hill is on the waiver wire, you waited this long to stash him, I would pick him up and I'd play him with confidence moving forward. I think he's got top 15 fringe upside.
You mentioned it, Meany. It is a mailbag edition of the show, and the mailbag is quite full. We appreciate everybody sending these questions in, and we do have a goaltending related one I wanted to get to, and it does relate to Aiden Hill, Meany, so I'll throw this one at you. Pick one of the three: Brandon Bussey, Jesper Wallstedt, or Aiden Hill the rest of the way. I mean, some injury concerns, I suppose, for Hill. Bussey obviously plays for a great team in Carolina. Wallstedt, a great team in Minnesota. So take your pick out of those three.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, Wallstedt's been the best of the three. There's no question, but he is in a timeshare, and I see Gustafsson starting to get a little bit more starts. And, you know, for Wallstedt, you wonder about some sort of wall. I know he's not a rookie, but he's played a lot of hockey in the National Hockey League. This is really his first full season playing a lot of games. And I think I may lean Bussey there, just with Freddie Anderson hasn't really shown me a whole lot this season. And there's an opportunity for him moving forward for a start. So I'm just thinking about volume, Pete. I'm thinking about volume on a good squad. Ratios are going to be okay, but me saying that, you can't just drop Wallstedt, right? If you have to make some sort of tough decision between one of the three, I think you make Wallstedt available, maybe try to trade him to the Gustafsson owner and say, hey, you got the Minnesota tandem the rest of the year. That's pretty spot on.
Definitely Wallstedt if it's a keeper league, but if it's a redraft league, I would go Aiden Hill. I think that Vegas has that supporting cast, even though Theodore has been banged up and there's no Pietrangelo, like, it's still a loaded forward group. He's going to get the goal support most nights. He will emerge as the starter, like we've said, either over Carter Hart or Akira Schmid or both. We'll see how they navigate that situation. But it's Aiden Hill's crease. Vegas is one of the top 5 or 6 teams in the league, so I'd go to bat with those guys.
We talked about Jari coming back. We're talking about Aiden Hill possibly making a return here soon as well. Some other injury updates from the last few days. Erik Karlsson lands on injured reserve. Leo Carlson did not play on Tuesday because of a lower body injury. And Meany, we had a ton of questions in the mailbag about Leo Carlson. And I think we've had a lot of Leo Carlson questions, to be honest, the last couple few weeks. Anaheim has clearly been struggling. Now, they did finally break the losing streak, and they did it against a good team. I know Dallas was on the second half of a back-to-back, but Dallas is actually the best team in the NHL in second halves of back-to-back. So an impressive win for Anaheim. We'll see if that can maybe get them going. But what are we doing with Leo Carlson and some of these Ducks, Meany? Are we buying back in? I think I'm still buying. I think I saw the ceiling early in the year, and I think there's enough there for me to still be in on some of these players. But a lot of frustrated Leo Carlson owners out there.
A lot of Leo Carlson questions. He was dropped in one of my leagues, and I tried to get him, and he was just scooped up immediately. And, you know, he's gone from a sell-high candidate to a buy-low candidate. We've been upgrading or updating the buy low and sell high trade targets over at NHLFantasy.com, and I did have him as a sell high candidate just because of what he was doing, the production. It was unsustainable, but I still like him overall, Pete. And when I messaged you yesterday, I was surprised that two of the top five players dropped in fantasy, Leo Carlson and Cutter Gauthier in there. These are players I still want a piece of. They play high event hockey. The defense is bad. The goaltending is bad, but they're still going to score a lot of goals, Pete. So I am in. All of a sudden, the stock market has changed where Leo Carlson is a buy low candidate. Heck, check your waiver wire because he may be available. Do not drop him, guys. If you want to move on, Pete, wait for him to get hot again and then make him available to your league mates. Don't drop him.
It's just crazy how quickly things change. We were talking about a month and a half, 2 months into the season, Leo Carlson on the short list of MVP candidates, maybe even in the top five. Now you're having you're fielding a mailbag question that I know you're interested in, Chris. Matty Beniers or Leo Carlson? I mean, is that how far we've fallen here? I know you're hot on Beniers, so curious. I'd rather have Leo Carlson.
No question.
That seems crazy, but yeah. It's crazy that we're having that debate here.
Right, and again, it's the highs and the lows. It's living in the moment. I understand if you're not in a playoff spot, you want to make some of these moves. You want to pick up a trendy player, Matty Beniers, but let's look at the big picture here. With Leo Carlson, and again, I think the Ducks are going to score some goals. You know, I got another one for you, Jake, here. Morgan Geeky. What do I do with Morgan Geeky? Do I drop Morgan Geeky? I mean, he had an unbelievable 2025. The calendar year, he was right there with Jason Robertson and Nathan MacKinnon in goals. He did have a high shooting percentage. Now, nothing here so far. Just had his first child, so maybe there's some dad swag coming here soon. But this is another player that inside the top six, the offense is not as great in Boston. Some exposure to David Pastrnak. It's not the time to just cut him loose, but I do have some concerns about moving forward if he can continue to, you know, this goal pace.
Boston's a crazy team for me. I look at them on paper and I think that's not a great team offensively, but then I watch them and they have the ability to push the pace. They can run the shot clock up sometimes. I think they're finding something with that unit. Now, Geeky hasn't really been much of a part of it offensively, Meany, but it's crazy that we're even talking about possibly dropping Geeky after where we were in October and November, right? People talking about him maybe competing for the Rocket Richard trophy. So I think there's still enough there for me to hang on. And if he's getting that power play attachment, I don't think I'm just simply going to part ways with Geeky at this point. Guys, one of the biggest storylines this week, I mean, one for a good reason, one for a bad reason, is the Tampa Bay Lightning. The good reason is they've won 11 games in a row now, hottest team in the National Hockey League. Bad reason is they lose Braden Point, one of their best players, and this is just something that's happened to Tampa all year, players in and out of this lineup. Meany, we'll start with you. What does this mean moving forward? Obviously, if you're a Braden Point fantasy owner, this is just a tough blow, but can anybody step up in this Tampa lineup, maybe elevate a little bit? And then obviously there's the Team Canada side to this, because it looks like he probably won't be a part of that team in February.
Man, that's so tough, because when Cooper made the change midway through the Four Nations faceoff, the change that he made I thought was the reason Canada won, he put Braden Point up on that top line with McDavid. He checks all kinds of boxes in terms of 20 and 22 plus mile an hour speed bursts. He's a guy that can skate with McDavid. So if he can't go, it's a massive loss. Maybe they consider Sam Bennett, who I believe should have been named to the team. Maybe they consider a guy like Wyatt Johnson, who I think is one of the most underrated players in the NHL, that can play in all situations on the wing, PP and PK. But as for the Lightning, okay, here we go. And I wonder if there's an opportunity to get in on one of these Atlantic teams, because they're all so hot. And sometimes this just happens for a team all season long. I've seen it across all sports. Injuries just pile up for whatever reason. There's no luck on their side. But Pete, I'd be looking at a guy like Anthony Cirelli. If he's available,
available, right? He's going to get a little bit more ice time. Maybe they try some things with Bjorkstrand inside the top six, maybe more power play time with him. You know, Gensel is already owned. Brendan Hagel's already owned, and Kucherov's on a heck of a run. And I see a question about selling high on Radish. I am not selling high on Darren Radish. I will just continue to ride this thing out until Victor Hedman's healthy and on the Lightning squad.
Thankfully, Tampa is still very top heavy, even without Hedman and with this injury blow to point. They still have the firepower. Kucherov's getting 2-3 points almost every single night. Gensel's a high danger stud. And they can even elevate a player like Nick Paul. We see him listed in the top six right now. And we know how good Hagel is at even strength. And Cirelli's a beast in many facets of the game. So maybe look at Nick Paul as having a glimmer of fantasy renewed value here. But yeah, in the Atlantic, when you look at some of these injuries, you know, there's the point injury. Then as good as Buffalo's played, 14 of 16. Now Josh Norris is back on the injured list. We don't know for how long. Hopefully points just week to week. But these injuries could play a part in these different swings. You have seven teams in the Atlantic right now, Jake, separated by 10 points and all alive for the division title race, because that includes Florida, who's 10 points back.
It's crazy. It feels like the only team that might be cooked in the East now is the New York Rangers. Points-wise, you could still make a case they could climb back in, but if you watch a Rangers game recently, and I know you guys have, it's not great. That team doesn't look like it has much of a heartbeat, and they give up an 8 spot after giving up a 10 spot a week ago. So it's rough times with the Rangers. But Pete, you mentioned the Buffalo Sabres. Producer Bobby with the call, feels like a month ago, Sabres to make the playoffs. I think a couple of us on the pod scoffed at it. The more I watch the Sabres, the more I believe. Like, this team is actually pretty legit, and I would love to see them make the playoffs this season. So unfortunate that Josh Norris goes down, but Meany, where are you at with this Sabres team? Are you starting to buy a little bit more? I think you were less skeptical than I was, but I think I'm starting to buy into what this team can do. It's a mess in the East to try to figure out, and it is going to be a race to the finish, but I have to feel like they got a little something going on in Buffalo right now.
They're playing good hockey, and you know, they played good hockey last year as well. They scoring goals wasn't their issue. I think last year, health and goaltending. So they're starting to getting some goaltending from UPL at the moment with Lyon out. I have seen this story before. I will say that I've seen this, you know, hot runs from Buffalo before. I think health is the biggest concern. I love that Tuck is playing on the top line with Tage Thompson. They're getting contributions from some of their younger guys. Benson's on that top line now. Consider him for an anytime point. He picked up, you know, a couple points the other night. And also, like, Josh Doan, and Pete talked about it, right? The JJ Paterka trade. Doan has outperformed JJ Paterka. Who saw that coming? And the defense is pretty solid with Byram, and I think that Rasmus Dahlin is a good buy-low candidate. Guys, I've seen Rasmus Dahlin getting dropped in leagues as well. So let's be patient here with some of their big boys. But Pete, I don't know. I'm still, you're the Buffalo guy. I'm still a little on the fence if they're going to make the playoffs. But man, they're playing really good hockey. They got a big one against the Canadiens tonight.
So if you go back to the first game that they played after firing Kevin Adams and replacing him with Yarmo, who, by the way, it sounds like just walked in there, said, you guys are all on the hot seat right now across the roster, which is pretty cool that he lit a fire like that. But they are fifth in the entire NHL in goals per game since the GM change. Got to wonder, right? Like, so much of an impact on the ice, even though it was the GM. Maybe Lindy Ruff kind of gets the leash taken off a little bit. He could do things his way, you know, and make some necessary tweaks. Just an interesting dynamic in how this has flip-flopped at the drop of a hat with a GM change.
I've seen Byram a little bit better and Power a little bit better too. We've seen this before, and I echo what Pete said. I love that he went in and said, listen, anybody could get traded at any moment. So it does light a fire under some of these players. And I wonder, you mentioned, Jake, the Rangers. Panarin seems like a guy that's going to be moved here. Does Buffalo make a move? We haven't seen them as buyers. I don't even remember the last time they were buyers, right? When Stu Barnes was on the squad. But like, are they going to go out and get a guy like Panarin and bolster their top six and say, hey, we're ready. We got some of these younger players. Let's go get a guy like Panarin. Or how about Detroit? Let's go get a guy like Panarin playing with Patty Kane again. Like, I feel like one of these Atlantic teams, it's a cluster right now. We know Tampa is set, but one of these Atlantic teams, I think, could make a big move. Where do you see Panarin going, and where would you like to see him go?
And we did get some questions about that. We did get some questions about Dougie Hamilton as well. Should I stash him, you know, wait to see if he maybe finds another landing spot? And that's what I was going to ask you, Pete, about how do you treat these kind of players in fantasy, right? Knowing they're on a team, they might be struggling, but they could potentially land in another spot. Do you actually buy low on a Panarin right now and go out there and have a, you know, distressed Panarin owner that's on a, he's on a bad Rangers team, they can't win. You go out and send an offer. I think, guys, he's got to move. There's no way the Rangers can keep him there with how this season is going, unrestricted free agent. It would make no sense for them to give him a contract with where that organization is at, Pete. So I think Panarin's as good as gone. It's just a matter of finding that landing spot. And I think anything would be better than what's happening with the Rangers right now. So I like some of the names that Meany brought up. I would love to see the Sabres in the conversation actually buying for once, but plenty of great options. We know Panarin's still a talented player, Pete. And I think wherever he ends up, he's going to get a boost because things just seem so off with the Rangers vibes-wise. I think anywhere else he goes, he's going to get a little bit of a bump up. So if you got a distressed Panarin owner out there, I wouldn't mind sending some trade offers out.
It's a huge name, and it's someone that could put a team over the top. I know that he hasn't been an elite playoff performer, usually takes a little step back, doesn't have the size of some other guys, and you know, has been a bit snake bitten in the playoffs. But I still think that anybody and everybody will try to get in on this guy, whether it's Carolina trying to get over the hump. And if he's just a rental, these teams that are trying to win it all, Dallas, who's dealing with the Sagan injury, Tampa, who's dealing with the Hedman injury, and Radish has been just fine. But, you know, the long-term IR comes into play, and one of these teams could surprise you. So even if Buffalo wants to buy on this guy, it's going to be difficult for them to actually land him because there are legit cup contenders that will try to add him as a rental and then try to win the whole thing.
It's a good point, and I want to see the Sabres in the playoffs too. Like, I'm not a hater here, guys. It's been a long time. I love the market. I love, like, the, you know, these underdog stories. I want to see them in. And at the same time, if you're the Sabres and you're the Canadiens, you want to stay the course, especially if you're Montreal. You're not going to trade some of these young players, you know, just for a rental. But Artemi Panarin is going to be the best get at the trade deadline. We're talking about his points. I mean, he's got 16 goals and 35 assists in 47 games. He has an 8-game point streak on a team that is absolutely a mess right now. He's got 4 multi-point games over that span, 6 multi-point games over the last 12 games or so. He's going to be a really good get for whoever gets him. One more final mailbag question for me, and we've gotten this a lot, is Connor Hellebuck. And Pete, we recently just moved Connor Hellebuck down our rankings. We're going to have Vasilevskiy ahead of him. You can make the case for Sorokin, Logan Thompson, Jake Oettinger. What do I do with Connor Hellebuck? Is he a buy low? Do I move him because he still has name value? Where are you at, Jake, with Hellebuck? If you were an owner, what would you do with him?
Well, if I'm an owner, I think I'm hanging on at this point just because of the landscape of the goaltending around the NHL. If I deal Hellebuck and I'm looking for saves the rest of the year, I get it hasn't gone well for him. I get it hasn't gone well for Winnipeg. And I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I think they've dug themselves way too deep of a hole here, Pete, to get out of it and actually make a playoff push. But I do think they're going to play better in the second half of the season, and they are starting to trend up a little bit. It might just be one of those too little, too late scenarios where they win some games, they end up falling, you know, 5-6 points short of a playoff spot, and it's not a great season for Winnipeg with their expectations. I think Hellebuck could still be very valuable in the second half of the season if Winnipeg starts to figure this out.
I think so. I would buy for the right price if someone's looking to unload him. He's going to play most of their games the rest of the way. 3-6-4. So the record not looking good since he came back from injury. 8-8-2. You don't love that. But he is keeping you know, the 4 overtime losses, the 3 wins in that span. Like, he's trying to keep them afloat a little bit. I liked what I saw the other day in the game against the Islanders. They blew the 3-0 lead. They recovered to win. And then all of a sudden, you know, you put a string of those type of performances together, get your mojo back a little bit, and then you find yourself in that fringe wild card race in a matter of a couple of weeks. So that's what you're hoping for if you buy low on Hellebuck.
Just to put a bow on it, I would stick with him. What you said, Jake, you know, sticks with me in the fact that there's a lot of struggling goalies out there, and we know what his upside and his ceiling is. Unless you're getting a top 5 goalie, unless you're getting one of the Colorado Avalanche goalies, you know, I would just kind of stay with Hellebuck and hope that he turns it around. But, you know, if you are really frustrated with him, don't just give him away. Like, you could get a couple nice pieces. If it's John Gibson that you like, if it's Joseph Wall that you like one of these goalies, try to get something else. This is the time of the year to look at, you know, your total and where you stack up against the rest of your league mates. Do you need faceoffs? Do you need shots? Do you need power play points? Try to just get something that will help, you know, you get to the dance ultimately, because that's what it's all about.
all we want to do is get to the dance. And right now we got to get to a quick break here, guys. And we'll get to On the Money presented by Bet365 in a moment. But first, a look at NHL Fantasy Stars with Petey and Chris.
Thanks, Jake. Hey, Pete, let's talk some Fantasy Stars. Tell me about your squad. Who are you rocking this week?
I'm building a really strong blue line right now. I already had Zach Werenski and Jake Sanderson, two of the elite defensemen. I just drew in a pack yesterday Rasmus Dahlin, one of my guys. I also took your advice. I bought with some coins, 300 coins. I bought Darren Radish, who's been pretty much the breakout player at the position this season. So I'm going to bat with a really strong blue line right now.
I really love the open market. Getting a guy like Radish, he's up on the top power plays, among the leaders in points. 300 coins, that's it. You can train him, add more fantasy points to his shot volume, which is there, so he has a nice fantasy floor. I recently had Juraj Slafkovský in a pack. In the daily packs, I was able to get him, and he's been one of the leaders as well. And Pete, he has some shot volume. He's not afraid to throw his hits, so I'm just watching those fantasy points pile up, and every time the Canadiens play, he's in my starting lineup.
Such a good player for this format, and he's had his full-fledged breakout. Great to see him living up to the number one pick potential from a couple of years back. But yeah, you can pull packs every 12 hours, right, in Fantasy Stars, so you can make your team better and better by the day and use your coins. I always like to look at the gold packs. I try to save up my coins to get 1,000 to hit the gold pack and try to win big any given day.
Gold packs the way to go. You can also buy packs, center packs, left wing packs, defensive packs, and team goalies as well. So you don't have to, you know, sit there and wonder which goalie is going to start. Download the NHL Fantasy Stars app to build your own team today.
Welcome back to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Listen up, hockey fans. You won't want to miss this. Experience the thrill of NHL betting with Bet365, an official league partner. With Bet365, you can create your own bets, build same-game parlays, and take advantage of our early payouts when your team goes up 3 goals. Bet on every exciting moment on the ice, from goals and points to shots and saves. Bet on the NHL with Bet365 and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365, an official betting partner of the NHL. Guys, it's time for On the Money. I'm not going to lie. We've been hot. We've been hot the last couple of weeks. Everybody's been contributing. We're sharing the rock. You know, Pete's been hot. Chris has been hot with the same game parlays as well. So we'll try to keep it going here, boys. And a pretty busy Thursday night card. I'll lead things off. Alberga's not here. I know if Alberga was here, he would say, I'm playing the Mitch Marner anytime goal. Maybe even Mitch Marner 2 points against the Maple Leafs. Both teams meeting in tricky spots, though. Leafs, third road game in 4 nights. They had to play Colorado, Utah. Day off in Vegas could be a little bit dangerous. And then play the Golden Knights. And the Knights played in LA last night. So both teams in a bit of a tricky spot. But I think there is some Marner angles we could attack tonight.
Absolutely, right? You're going to have some fun with this. It should be an electric game in Vegas tonight. And yeah, I'm in on Marner. Why not have some fun with that anytime goal? Jack Eichel's been playing really good. How about Mark Stone? He's got points in 26 of 29 games this year. It's absolutely remarkable what he's doing. Shea Theodore is back there. I like the Golden Knights. I know it's the second half of the back-to-back. The Leafs have kind of struggled on the road. We'll see if Aiden Hill is between the pipes. I'm going to go back to the Blue Jackets. You know, a bit of a steep price here on the money line, minus 170, but why not maybe in regulation minus 105 against a Canucks team that has just been awful over the last 8 games. They're winless. They're allowing nearly 5 goals per game over that span. So Adam Fantilli is headlined in our NHL fantasy picks here today. So just one game with bonus, but he was second among Blue Jackets forwards in ice time. He had 6 shot attempts, 5 shots. So maybe a same game parlay with a point for him and a point for Marchenko. Get that up to plus money, Pete.
Take a look at Tomáš Hertl. This guy's exploding right now. He had a 5-point game the other day. He has 3 multi-point games in his past 5. He's got 39 points in 45 games this season. That actually puts him in line with his past career high, which is like 75 points with the Sharks. Like, could he exceed that this year? Definitely. So maybe even dabble in the Tomáš Hertl multi-point game market, as Vegas is going to now reach another level now that they get their goaltender back, whether it's tonight or another game in the next couple of days.
It does feel like Vegas has found their level here, guys, as well. That was something I did want to bring up on the show, and probably scary, I guess, for the rest of the Pacific Division, maybe outside of Edmonton. I don't think Edmonton's really scared of anybody in that division, so something to monitor as we move forward. I'm fascinated by the Montreal-Buffalo game tonight as well. The Habs have been playing some great hockey all year. Sabres have been playing great hockey of late. I mean, I'm leaning towards Montreal in that spot with Buffalo having played the night before, but I can't believe I'm saying it. It's actually hard to go against the Sabres these days. It used to be very, very easy. And Meany, I'm looking at the under in the Seattle-Boston game, maybe the flat six. Seattle played in New Jersey on Wednesday. I think maybe a bit of a commitment to defense and goaltending tonight. Boston, as much as they have been pushing the pace a little bit, can still struggle to score. So under six in Seattle and Boston, I think we see a bit of a tighter game there. Two good goalies.
Yeah, I like that call. You know, a tough loss for the Kraken, but they have played good hockey. They've hung around with a lot of teams, and their unders have hit because they don't score a lot of goals. They're among the leaders in shooting percentage. On the other side, one of the worst 5-5 shooting percentages in the league, and they're getting good goaltending from both guys and Grubauer and Decord. Back to that Montreal-Buffalo game. I like the over. I think this could be a fun game with some offense. You know, the Sabres are home dogs here, but I'm with you, Jake. I do like the Canadiens. They've been playing really good hockey as well. It just hasn't been 14 of 16. The consistency's been there with them, and there's two guys in particular. I know Alexander Texier is a guy that I brought up in the previous show, but you couldn't bet for him for a point, but 365 is offering it. He's nearly plus money. Actually, he is. He's plus 110 for a point, still playing with Caulfield and Hyman. And Pete, your guy, Zach Benson, you know, a recent promotion to the top line with Tage Thompson and Alex Tuck. He's plus 110 for a point. So I think we could see some goals in that game. It should be a fun one.
I think the Buffalo point market is live right now for a lot of these secondary scores. Maybe even the shots on goal prop market for Jack Quinn. Look at his past couple of games, three shots, four shots, two shots, two goals in one of those games, one goal in the game against Philly that they won last night. So whether it's him, Benson, top line, even when Doan's on the second line, he's been great this season. Samuelson keeps chipping in points left and right. There's McLeod, there's Zucker. Like, you're not even talking about the top dogs on Buffalo. We're talking about all this value sprinkled across the entire lineup. I really like what Jack Quinn's been cooking lately.
Before we get out of here, guys, any good futures angles we're looking at these days? I've been kind of keeping my close eye on these markets. We are seeing quite a few heavy favorites, but all of a sudden I'm looking at the Hart Trophy and I'm seeing Macklin Celebrini pass Connor McDavid on the odds board. McKinnon's still a significant favorite there. As much as Matt Schaefer's a huge favorite to win the Calder, probably should be. Demidov keeps cooking as well. And all of a sudden, you know, maybe makes that a bit of a conversation in the second half. So Pete, I'll start with you. Any futures angles you're looking at right now?
Jack Adams' race right now is heating up. You see the guys we've come to know through the years very well, Bednar and Cooper. Cooper's never won it, so there's a case for him with what they've done with all these injuries. But Lindy Ruff has risen from a massive long shot to plus 750. He's third on the odds board. And then Todd McClellan, with what Detroit's doing this year with the improvement in goal with Gibson and the elite offense, elite power play, JVR, all these different wrinkles that we didn't expect. Todd McClellan at plus 1,100 is intriguing as well. I think Joel Quenneville is out of the mix, unfortunately, with how Anaheim has struggled. So it's become a four-horse race, and there's definitely some intrigue on Lindy Ruff and Todd McClellan right now out of those Atlantic Division teams.
You know, the Hart race is intriguing, isn't it, Jake? Because if you look at the most valuable player and you see the Sharks with more wins already this season than they had last year, and all of a sudden you see Celebrini at plus 425, there's been a massive jump in his odds of late. And I think back of the season where it was a debate between Taylor Hall and a debate between Nathan MacKinnon, and Hall single-handedly got the Devils to the playoffs, and I think he only had like 80-some-odd points. He didn't have a phenomenal season compared to some of the other superstars. So if the Sharks get into the playoffs, there's no question. If I had a vote, it would be Celebrini. And you mentioned the Calder race as well. This time last year, do you guys know what Lane Hudson's number was? It was 50-1. Celebrini was a massive favorite in the Calder race, and Hudson went on a heck of a run in the second half. I think it's Schaefer's award to lose, but I'm sitting here and I'm seeing Demidov at 6-1. Don't want an injury to happen, but if that happened or Demidov gets to 75 points, we've only seen two rookies hit the 70-point mark in the last 70 years, Matthew Barzal and Patrick Kane. If he can flirt with 75, 80 points, he'll at least be in the conversation.
The lane train just flew right past him in the second half of the season. That was incredible. The fact that he was those odds at this point of the season speaks to how that race can go, right? These are rookies. They're young players that we're talking about. And Demidov's a part of a team that could even win the Atlantic Division, right? That could be a feather in the cap if he contributes to something like that. I got my eye on the Vezina Trophy guy. This might be the messiest Vezina Trophy award I've ever seen. Right now, Ilya Sorokin and Logan Thompson are co-favorites over at Bet365 at plus 165 odds. And then it just kind of drops down after that. I would say Vasilevsky, probably worth a look, even though it's only 7-1, I think, with what him and the Tampa Bay Lightning are doing, Meany. And Jesper Wallstedt's fallen all the way down to 60-1. I don't mind a play on somebody like that. And shockingly enough, Igor Shesterkin, he's not even there, and he's still fifth on the odds board. That's how messy this Vezina Trophy is right now, Meany. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's wild. I really like what I've seen from Sorokin. And again, I'll say the same thing. If the Islanders can get into the playoffs, I mean, it will certainly help Matthew Schaefer's case, but Sorokin as well. One more pick for me here today. Wyatt Johnson, anytime goal, look for him, maybe 2 points. I like Dallas to bounce back here. I know Utah's been playing really good hockey, but there's something that we talked about earlier with maybe Braden Point not playing, you know, in the Olympics. We'll see his status. Some of these guys that were snubbed, Wyatt Johnson, Sam Bennett, let's keep an eye on them. If they can get a little bit of an uptick in their game, maybe they can make a case for, you know, a replacement nom.
Digging deep, Igor Chinnikov for the Pittsburgh Penguins. He was acquired a couple weeks ago from Columbus, and he's playing with Evgeny Malkin, who's better than a point per game this season. The usage is pretty low at even strength. I think he's only averaging 12 or 13 minutes per game, but has some outstanding edge metrics. I'm talking 99th percentile among forwards in hardest shot, 98th percentile in skating speed, and then average shot speed, he's 96th percentile. So this guy has some good underlying metrics that could start to equate into the goal and shots on goal markets for betting.
Well, there you have it, guys. As long as Vegas doesn't claim Nick Alberga, he will be back with us Monday waiver wire edition of the show. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice for Chris Meany, Pete Jensen, producer Bob Bender. We'll see you on Monday.